Yeah, so my name's Richard. I'm also part of the leadership team here. So today, as we all know, it's Good Friday. But I want us just to think about this question. Why do we call Good Friday good? Now, I know lots of people have probably preached on this over the years, but you know, I've been thinking about this over the last few weeks, and I mean, to be quite honest, after the amount of just thinking and reading that I've done, I probably could spend an entire hour talking about this, but I've only been given 10 minutes. So I'm going to do my best to try and come in on 10 minutes. You know, in truth, when you think of Good Friday, purely from a natural, human kind of perspective, there seems very, very little we could arguably say is good about Good Friday. And what I'm going to share, you know, comes with a bit of one of those warnings. You know, some of the stuff I'll talk about is quite distressing, really. You know, Jesus had been, you know, spending his life going around doing good, loving people, doing miracles. And yet, he's hauled before Pilate, accused of doing all sorts of crimes. And Jesus didn't try to defend himself. He remained silent. And Pilate, in the dilemma, couldn't really find anything wrong with Jesus. He tried to persuade the Jews for him to be set free, because at this time of year, there was a custom where one person could be set free. So why not Jesus? But awfully, the people chose a murderer called Barabbas to be set free rather than Jesus. I wonder how that felt to Jesus. And so he was led out to be crucified. Soldiers put a purple robe upon him. They made a crown of thorns. This isn't little tiny little thorns you see on our rose bushes. You know, these are big, big thorns, and they were pressed into his head, and blood would have been coming down his face. And they beat him, and they whipped him, and they made fun of him. They jeered at him, you know, about being a king. He was made to carry his own cross all the way to where he was about to be crucified. And eventually, when they reached that place of crucifixion, they nailed him to that cross. Again, you know, these aren't little panel pin type things. You know, these are massive, thick nails put through his hands and through his feet. You know, we only have to try and think about this. This would have been excruciating pain. And again, people jeered at him. We were singing, weren't we, in one of these songs, "The Scoffers." People scoffed at Jesus. They said things like, "Ha! He saved others. Can't save himself." Just made fun of him. How awful. But you know, hanging on that cross was really just the beginning of some of the pain and anguish that he was going to go through on this long journey to death. What happens in crucifixion, and many people would just bleed out over time. Other people would be gasping for breath. It was so hard to breathe because of the way they were hung, and eventually, you know, they would die. But, you know, this was a journey of torture. It wasn't just an execution. Crucifixion was specifically designed, you hear this? It was actually designed to prolong death. It was extremely and psychologically humiliating to maximize the shame of the victim. Someone said this: the horror of the cross was not only that it was done, but that it was done to be seen. It was not only literally excruciatingly painful, but it was humiliating in the extreme. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the popular hymn. In fact, one of the lines in our song came out, made reference to this. Remember the hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross"? Who remembers that hymn? Written in 1913 by George Bernard. The second line of that hymn says this: And it sums up what the cross is all about. The emblem of suffering and shame. Now, I know this doesn't sound very uplifting. You're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, what is he going on about? Probably not what you signed up for this morning, but it does beg the question, doesn't it? Why do we call Good Friday good in the light of everything I've just shared with you just now? I don't think any of us really can, in truth, call it good. And it doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better, you see, because he died for you and me. That's why he did it. It's for you and me. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. You see, the cross, that suffering, he did it for me. He did it for you. And if that creates any emotion in any of us, what kind of emotion does it create? Well, it creates an emotion of, you know, why me? Why me? Why would you do that? I don't feel worthy for this. So I think it's really hard to say Good Friday is good. And yet there is one person, who can legitimately and confidently say Good Friday is good. And that is Jesus himself. Because if we start to look at Friday from Jesus' perspective, it's actually quite different. The person who wrote to the Hebrews gives a very different kind of perspective on crucifixion. He kind of paints it alongside an image of a race. And in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Listen to this next bit. Scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we often think, don't we, about Jesus humbly accepting his death. We think about, and I've mentioned this, about him remaining silent when he was questioned. He even forgave those who were executing him. That's what everybody saw with their eyes. And it is exactly what happened. But in the spiritual realm, something far more fierce, more aggressive was taking place. Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. What does that mean? I'll be trying to imagine what that means. And what I feel is like this, that Jesus was kind of saying, you're trying to humiliate me. You're trying to destroy me. You're trying to kill me. You're trying to bring maximum of shame upon me. But listen, you have no idea what's about to happen. You have no idea what's about to happen. I want you to picture this race, but put yourself into a kind of a spiritual realm now, a spiritual race. Imagine Jesus now and all the angelic forces around him, urging him on, cheering him forward, to something they know is going to be awful, but it's going to be really powerful. They're cheering onto the finishing line. And when Jesus crosses that finishing line of this incredible race, he cries out with a loud cry of victory, "It is finished! It's finished!" And not only did the ribbon of the finishing line break in two as he runs across it, at the same time, the veil of the curtain was torn in two. This veil which separated mankind from the holy presence of God was torn in two. And suddenly, men and women could have a personal relationship with the living God because of what Jesus did on that cross. Gosh, isn't that a different perspective to the human perspective? You know, Paul, when he writes to the Colossians, at this moment when it's finished and Jesus, you know, dies on that cross, it says that God disarmed the powers and the authorities, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You know, the human awfulness of Easter Friday is completely blown out of the water by the most incredible, powerful victory that humankind has ever experienced. Jesus conquering sin and death by his own death on that cross. There's been no victory like it ever. And yet, he was crushed for our sins. He was crushed for our sins. But you know, when we confess our sins to God and we receive him by faith and we thank him for the victory that he accomplished on that cross, when we do that humbly before him, you know what happens? God nails our sin on the cross. That's what the scriptures say. Our sins are nailed to that cross and he declares us forgiven. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Why did God do it? Well, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, I prayed that prayer, that kind of prayer, many, many years ago. We were sharing it at the table. I prayed that prayer, and as a child of God, I know Jesus is in my life. So I can confidently say, along with Jesus himself, that Good Friday really, really is good because Jesus made it so. Amen.